When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachm temple, the tax came to Peter and asked, "Does your teacher pay for them? Forgive me. Does your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "For whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you'll find 4 drachm coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours."
Yes. Thank you, Christo.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we simply pray, open our eyes so that we might see wonderful things in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hakim says he can smell this. If you're on the front row, then this is a 4D sermon today with smell as well. The question is, what's in the fish? What's in the fish? There is actually something inside this fish. And I think what we're going to see is that it's a very exciting thing. What do you think it is?
Omega-3.
Say again?
Omega-3.
Yeah, that's true. Omega-3 is inside this fish. There's something else that is exciting inside this fish. And if we understand today's passage properly, I think we're going to become very excited about what's inside the fish. Shh, don't ruin it, Hakim! We're going to come to see why that's such an exciting thing in a minute. But not now. We'll find out later. We're going to put this to one side for now. And let me ask you another question. How many days is it till Christmas? How many sleeps till Christmas?
What?
How many sleeps till Christmas? There's a prize for whoever gets closest. The prize is that fish. 182? That is so good. I think it's actually 185. 185. Rachel was the only one to guess, so she wins. Well done. We're almost halfway till Christmas. And I don't know if it was... yes?
187.
No. It's 185, I think. You might be right. I'm not sure if it was last Christmas or the one before, but there was this lady, this grandma, made the news. Do you remember why she made the news? This grandma made the news because she charges her family for Christmas dinner. She charges her family for the food and for the electricity. And everyone has to pay. Even like the 3-year-old grandkids have to pay towards Christmas dinner. And there was a mixed response. Some people thought, fair enough. But a lot of people thought, that doesn't sound quite right. You don't charge your own family. You don't charge family. That's the main point that Jesus makes as the temple collectors come shaking their tin. Do you know those guys who sometimes knock on your door, the charity guys, and they've got their jackets and they've got their story and they've got their official badge and they've got their collector's box? Well, no sooner do the disciples arrive back home in their hometown of Capernaum that there's a knock at the door and there's someone at the door. So verse 24 of chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" Here they are, they've got their badge and they've got their tin, and they're saying, 2 for the temple, please, sir. This temple tax has its roots in Exodus chapter 30. So there, God said that each year, when the people were counted, all of the men should contribute towards the support and the upkeep of God's house, the tabernacle. And that was then later applied to the temple. So every man between the age of 20 and 50, stick your hand up if you're a man between the age of 20 and 50. Okay, so all of us, Lisa, a man between the age of 20 and 50. But there you go. You're between, are you under 50, Lisa? I'm just joking. If you're a man between the age of 20 and 50, then you had to pay this 2 drachma temple tax. A drachma was about a day's wage. And now it's time to collect. So these guys with their badges and with their collection tins come and they say, is Jesus going to pay? Verse 24, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? They seem to assume that he won't. Maybe they had good reason to think that. It actually was a bit of a controversial tax. Not everyone liked it and not everyone paid it. A lot of people thought it shouldn't really apply to the temple. There's some suggestion that rabbis, teachers, might have been exempt. And anyway, Jesus has a bit of a reputation already for challenging some of the traditions. And so maybe they thought, well, this guy, Jesus, he's a bit of an alternative teacher, so he's probably going to kick up a fuss about this. But Peter replies, what does he say? Verse 25, he says, well, yeah, he does pay. But perhaps it raises some questions in his mind. So as he goes inside, perhaps it's his own home, Peter's home. And as he goes inside, Jesus anticipates the questions he might have. It's Jesus who starts the conversation, verse 25. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. It's a simple point. You don't charge your own family. Kids go free. One of the commentators I read about this is a Zambian called Joe Capiolo. And he writes, in the village where I was brought up, there were 2 kinds of taxes. The poll tax, imposed on every male householder by the British colonial government, and the traditional annual tax paid to the local chief's palace, usually in the form of conscripted labour and food donations or tribute. The colonial poll tax was a constant reminder of subjection to a foreign power, while the latter taxes were a matter of customary pride. He says this, the traditional taxes were not paid by the chief's sons, but by those who were governed by the chief. Similarly, Jesus argues that as the Son of God, he does not need to pay the tax because the temple is the house of God. Do you see? This tax was not one of those ones paid to a foreign power, Rome. Jesus would address that question later. This was a temple tax for God's house, and you don't charge family. Remember what Peter has just seen last time on that mountain. Do you remember that scene? The glory of Jesus, face shining like the sun, clothes white light, this bright cloud, the presence of God and the voice of God, double underlining, this is my son. You can't really argue with that, can you? That's a pretty strong testimony if the voice of God himself says, this is my son. Jesus clearly is the Son of God. God's house is his house. He doesn't have to pay. Imagine if I started charging Zach for rent. Zach's my son. Imagine if I started charging him for rent or like for upkeep. You know, so our dishwasher just broke. There's 5 of us in the house. Imagine if I said, well, Zach, you've got to pay a fifth of all of the kind of upkeep and improvements. And what I'll do is I'll just keep a kind of record of everything that you owe. And when you're old enough and when you get a job and start earning money, then you can start to pay back everything that you owe. Does that sound okay? No, okay. Of course we wouldn't do that. You might choose to do something like that if you're in a shared house. But Zach is not a lodger. He's my son. And so he gets the freedom of family. So it is with Jesus. He's saying, I am the Son of God. Here's someone who's actually greater than the temple. He has this incredible status, which means he is exempt. He enjoys the privilege of sonship, the freedom of family. So these guys with their badges and their tins, it's like they've turned up at the chief's house. Wait a minute, aren't you collecting for my dad? Jesus wants Peter to be clear about the reality of his identity, and yet, look at his humility. Verse 27. The children are exempt, but so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch. This smell is getting stronger by the minute. I do apologize to the people on the front row. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. You know who I am, right? I don't actually have to pay this tax, but I'm going to pay it anyway. Jesus has this incredible status. Just imagine having the glory that we saw there on the mountain. The Son of God in all of his glory, in all of his radiance. That is who he actually is. But he doesn't throw his weight around. I think that's so countercultural, isn't it? We're often more concerned with knowing our rights and claiming our rights and making the most of our rights and exercising our rights. We like to claim all of the advantages that are rightfully ours. I'm not going to do it if I don't have to. I'm not going to pay if I don't have to. But the whole shape of Jesus' life is one of giving up his rights for the sake of others like us. That's the way of the cross, where he gave up those family privileges, where he chose not to exercise his command over those legions of angels that could have rescued him, where he was treated actually as if he was an enemy of the house of God, taking on the sin of those like me and you who actually are enemies so that we could be forgiven. So it is here. Jesus would rather not exercise his family privilege, verse 27, so that we may not cause offense. Causing offense has the idea of tripping someone up. And Jesus says, actually, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt or damage someone else in that way. Not causing offense to others is important to Jesus, and it should be important to us as well. The Apostle Paul would later follow Jesus' example, explaining in a letter to the church in Corinth that actually the reality of the gospel gives him great freedom to live in a way that pleases God, and yet I'm going to choose to limit the use of that freedom if it's going to trip anyone else up. That doesn't mean we shy away from doing the right thing out of fear of others, but it does mean we'll be willing to take a hit for the good of others. So can you see how Jesus holds this privileged status with great humility? The fact that he chooses to pay anyway doesn't change the reality that he doesn't have to pay because he is family and you don't charge family. That's his main point. You don't charge family. You don't charge the sons. And Jesus says, that's me. I'm the Son of God. He's making another strong claim to be the Son of God. But there's a further detail in this passage which takes this whole story to another level. So don't miss this. This is super exciting. And it comes actually back to that question, what's in the fish? What's in the fish? So let's get Fiona back up here. What's in the fish? You see, Jesus decides to pay his tax in a quite unusual way. He tells Peter to go to the lake. Capernaum was a fishing village right on the Sea of Galilee. But Peter, you don't need your old nets. This time you just need one line with a hook on the end. And the first fish you catch, open its mouth and you'll find a coin. What's in the fish? It's a coin. Does someone want to come and look inside the fish? Maybe one of the young people? Someone a bit close. Come on then, Bella. You're here for one night only. You can come and have a look inside the fish. Now, as she comes up... Say again?
You might come back.
You will, well, not after this, you won't. Before you look inside the fish, okay? So I have to admit, I couldn't find any drachmas in my wallet, okay? So there's not drachmas in this. But let's just imagine, for the sake of illustration, that the temple tax is £1, okay? The temple tax for each person is £1. It was much more than that. It was a day's wage. But for the sake of illustration, the temple tax is now £1, okay? So now, have a look in the fish. Let's see if we can do this in front of people. Here we go. Do you want to have a look in the fish?
Where?
In the mouth. Oh, look at that bravery. What can you find in there? You might need to rip it open quite... It's much harder to do this when they're alive, by the way. Oh, well done. Round of applause for Bella. Hang on there, Bella. Hang on there. What have you found, actually, in the fish?
£2.
A £2 coin. Can you see that? So not £1, but £2. So how many people's temple tax could you pay with this?
Two.
Two people's temple tax. Did you notice that in the passage? Okay. So verse 24, how much is the temple tax?
Two
drachmas per person. Verse 27, what coin is it? A four drachma coin. So what's in the fish? It's tax for two. And Jesus says to Peter, take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Do you see what he's doing there? Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's drawing Peter into the story. He's including Peter, and actually he's tying Peter to himself. He's saying to Peter, you're with me on this. On this issue, we are counted together. Suddenly, it's not just about Jesus and his tax status. He's saying to Peter, actually, me and you share the same tax status. It wasn't two £1 coins in that fish. One for you, one for me. It was one £2 coin. This is for me and for you. That one coin in the fish ties the two of them together. It unites Peter's status with Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to pay my tax, even though I don't need to. It's as if he's saying to Peter, we are only paying this tax so as to not cause offense. Actually, we don't have to because of our privileged status. Do you see how it's gone from I to we? By including Peter in the payment of his tax, Jesus is signaling to Peter, actually, you're in the same category as me. Those guys in the temple tax with their badges and with their tins, they'd actually only asked about Jesus. They weren't asking about Peter. They said, what about your teacher? But Jesus includes Peter in the story. We only do this to cause offense because in reality, Peter too is exempt. And what conclusion does that lead us to? Who is it that doesn't have to pay the tax? The children. So can you see why I'm excited about this fish? Because what that coin communicates is, Peter, you too are a child of God. You too are a child of God. Have a bit of hand gel and a round of applause as you go back to your seat. Thank you. What this coin communicates is that Peter too is a child of God. And so, church family, if you are the family of God this morning, I'd love to invite you to join in with my excitement about the fish, my amazement about the fish. Because what we're taught from this passage is that if we are in Christ, our status is bound to his. If we are in Christ, then the voice of God declares over us too, this is my son, whom I love. Some of us need to hear that this morning. We are truly trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. We are. But we struggle and we wander and we sin. And at times we begin to wonder whether his face still smiles on us. Perhaps we begin to doubt his goodness and his love and our status as his child. Listen again then to his voice. Let these words bring healing to your soul. If you are in Christ, this is what God declares over you. This is my son, whom I love. How? How is that possible when we are so full of sin? How is that possible when we so often fail to love him back? It's because of what Jesus explains in verse 22. Verse 22, are you looking down there with me? When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he'll be raised to life." And how did the disciples respond? They were filled with grief. And they were filled with grief because they didn't understand. They didn't understand that Jesus really would physically rise from the dead. They didn't understand what his suffering and death would achieve. They didn't understand what Paul would later explain to the Galatians, that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive, what is it? Adoption to sonship. Jesus paid not just for himself, but for Peter too. And through his death on the cross, Jesus fulfilled the demands of the law of God, not just for himself, but for us too, so that we might be adopted as sons, children of God. If we believe in Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, we are united to him. We share his status as sons. Actually, whether you are male or female, you are a son of God, because our family status depends on our union with Jesus, the Son. And as sons of God, we share the freedom of family. It's as if Jesus said to Peter, "I don't need to pay this because God's house is my family home. And because you are with me, you don't need to pay either, because now God's house is your family home too." Can you imagine how astonishing that must have been for Peter? Can you imagine how incredible that is for us? When I visit my mum's house, one of the first things that I do is open the fridge and start helping myself. And you know, Alex agrees with that. I don't know what it's like in your house, Alex, but my mum doesn't stand there with a clipboard like, "Okay, 150 ml of milk, couple of spoonfuls of jam." At the end of our stay, I don't get a bill. Oh, I would have reused my towels. That's not how it works. Of course not, because I am her son, and you don't charge family. In Christ, we can enjoy the freedom of family. Get this. If you're a child of God, what that means is that we can enjoy the presence of God with us. We can enjoy the privilege of speaking to him as a father. We can enjoy the sure expectation of being with him forever. And listen, God is not asking you to chip in. There is no debt outstanding. Adoption is not something that you can buy. It is something that is done to you out of love. Through no contribution of their own, a child is loved and included and welcomed. You're part of the family now. Everything that we have is yours. Maybe some of us here this morning long for that. Maybe some of us are searching for family, searching for belonging. Maybe some of us have never known the love and the security that a family should bring. If that's you this morning, Jesus stands with his arms wide open, ready to welcome you home. He says, come to me, trust in me. I'm not asking you to chip in. You don't have to pay anything because it's all paid. I paid it all. This family status, children of God, is available to all, freely available to all who receive Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. Turn from your sin, turn to him. And if we are God's children today, can I encourage us to enjoy the freedom of family? Has anyone been to Buckingham Palace here? Anyone been inside Buckingham Palace? Did you have to pay when you went inside Buckingham Palace? You did have to pay, okay. And I bet there were some areas which it was like no entry, out of bounds, you can't go there. You know, as we come to the King of Kings, the King of Kings, the one who made that sun, by the way, that's burning us today, although not if you've come from Senegal, yeah. But that sun, that sky, the one who made all of that, the one who sustains every breath that we take, this King of Kings, we get to come to him, and not as visitors to a palace, but as children in their own home. Because of Jesus, we can come freely and confidently. Friends, let us enjoy the presence of God without feeling like we need to chip in. Let us talk to our Father, knowing that as we do so, it delights him. Let's not fall back into the errors of thinking that our obedience goes in some way to paying him back. Let's not think that our service at church and our times of prayer and trying to be good gains us some credit, or at least kind of makes us a bit less costly to save. My example about Zach paying rent is ridiculous. But maybe we kind of think of God a bit like that. That we know, we feel our sin, and we know that we've managed to run up quite a big debt. And we think, well, now I'm saved, I can begin to sort of pay that back a bit. But we are not lodgers, we are sons. And God doesn't charge his family. Don't stay away because you don't feel like you've earned it. Don't wait till you've built up enough credit to cash in. Enjoy the privilege of being family without paying anything. Jesus told a story of a man who in some ways is all of us. A son who dishonored his father, basically wishing him dead, wanting his stuff, without really wanting him. And so he went his own way, chasing pleasure, until one day he hit rock bottom and realized that nothing he had without, hadn't been given to him by his father. Back home he went with low expectations, rehearsing his speech, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Do you know that's just as true for me and you? We do not deserve this. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. "This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Do you know the embrace of God? Jesus is ready to welcome you home. A few moments to respond. If Jesus is calling you to himself today, you can enjoy the privilege of being a child of God by joining me in this prayer. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Thank you for Jesus, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you that he was delivered over and killed and raised to life to pay for my sins. Thank you that Jesus has joined me to him so that I now share his status as a child of God. Thank you that I can enjoy the freedom of family. Help me to live for you in the light of this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close our time.